And welcome to Sweet Tea and Tacos. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And we are continuing this week hanging out with Jeff and Melly. And we're all this week we're going to talk about kind of this time of year. And yes. Some of our favorite times to cook, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. And as we had referenced in the prior podcast or episode, Jeff and Melanie lived in France for a number of years, and they loved being there and cooking at this time of year as well. So we're going to kind of do a deep dive into just all things fall and fall food.
Awesome. So. That makes Jeff smile.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's just like comfort food. This is a real comfort food season. And
definitely.
Yeah. And like Helen says, our daughter likes to say hot food.
Hot food, yes.
So when you're south in the summer, you don't always want the hot food.
Right, sure, because it's too hot. That is for sure.
And we're big tea drinkers, so it's great to have a nice hot
Hot tea.
Cup of tea.
Hot cocoa so and all
of
that.
Those things. So what are some of the things you guys love to do this time of year?
Oh, eat. Yeah, I
mean. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny that... When we lived in France, the rhythms are the same, right? I mean, the harvest, you know, the idea of the harvest and certain things.
Yep. Abundance.
And, I think last time Millie mentioned about the, you know, just things being so seasonal and, you know, there's just certain things that, you know, mushrooms are fall and apples are fall.
Oh,
and,
yes. Apples this time of year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just all those kind of things that now, I mean, really for me, that's the definition. And so, you know, pork and, you know, you grill that in the summer, you know, and you might you eat it year round. But now in the fall, you just do things with it. The first thing I ever cooked. Learned to cook in France was like a pork and apples dish,
Which we had never paired together before. Yeah. We just hadn't. I'm sure people had, but we just had never had those two different tastes in the same dish, and it was just like, that was lovely.
That's what that is. Yeah.
Really, I think you know stews and braises and you know roasts and all those kind of things. Just good hearty, you know, the kind of food that our grandparents. Ate because they were out harvesting that we're not getting out doing that, you know, the food that gave you energy and helped you to walk up the mountain or go milk the cows or whatever.
Yeah. Now we've talked about the grocery store and the markets. Mm-hmm. Was it seasonal? Like you mentioned, were things more seasonal versus we don't really get the seasonal here as much because it's you so much they work to have things year round.
Right.
But was it more seasonal there, availability of products?
There were some things there were a lot of things that was year round. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you know, especially, you know, beef and pork and chicken, poultry, those were year round. You know, the in the supermarket, you could get
what you needed
broccoli all the time. Mm-hmm. You could get certain things all the time. But in the markets, like the kind of farmer's markets, you would have much more. So like there would be, I can remember there was a vendor in the market where we lived that, you know, when the mushroom season would come around, he had an entire stall of mushrooms, but you wouldn't see those. You could get the little white, you know, mushrooms,
like
just
button
mushrooms all year round at different places. But he would have the sep and the Giro, all these amazing mushrooms. And then, of course, you know, like I say, it was really more about abundance. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at certain times of year, there would just be an abundance.
More of it. Gotcha.
And so therefore that was what people were traditionally, you know, and we were very much about kind of the traditional. We wanted to try.
So much high cuisine or the modern, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Not so much that.
We're not that.
Because we're not that and there's not enough on the plate. I mean, there's just not that. It's not substantial.
But what the real people eat.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. And we would say that. We want to eat what the French eat. You know, and that meant whatever people in our neighborhood were eating. But that also meant sometimes we would have, like at church, if we had a potluck, there would be something from the Caribbean because there are Antillais in the church. And then there might be some other type of dish from Africa. And you weren't real sure what it was, but it blended nicely with the other things there. So there's different influences, just like we have here, that were also pretty exciting, pretty nice to observe and just see how they blended together. But this time of year, we loved warmth, like you said, hot food. It was just whatever. I'll just tell you, this afternoon when I came into the house, the smell got to me before I got in the door. And Jeff's working on something for this weekend so that we can enjoy it and celebrate fall. And why don't you tell them about that? Because it was lovely. So, the smell was just so
it's,
nice.
It's, so like if there are actually any French people listening to this, they'll be horrified.
because you know, will hear back.
I mean, I have learned how to adapt. Yeah. But, you know, so I mean, a lot of ways, I mean, there's so many similarities between there and here, right? I mean, there's regional foods. Mm-hmm. There's things that are regional based on the people, you know, so like tacos, where there are those cultures. And honestly, one of the things that I should have known but discovered in France was we went to a place that there were a lot of Africans living, and they had black-eyed peas.
And fried
they
chicken.
They had collard greens. Mm-hmm. They had fried fish. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and I was like, wow, no wonder
and
we eat all that.
And it was delicious, you said.
And so there, I mean, there's this word, terroir, it's about like just kind of the ground. Mm-hmm. And you right. talk about that. You talk about it with wine. You talk about right. it with cheese, mm-hmm. and how certain cheeses, they taste like a place in mm-hmm. the wine, you know, that it comes mm-hmm. from the ground. And so, you know, the pork and apples was very Normandy
from that region.
In the West. Yeah. And then, but then this, I'm making a kind of a fake cassoulet, which is south of France, mm-hmm. which is, which again is a stew. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like anywhere else, that's it's got pork and sausage mm-hmm. and white beans mm-hmm. and duck. And so, again, I'm not doing it, you know, for anybody listening, I'm not doing the whole deal, but just kind of making it up. Mm-hmm. But so those kind of things. And then in the East, in Alsace, which we love,
oh, that's
you have,
our favorite.
You have mm-hmm. Bacalfa, which is potatoes and usually. Pork, beef, and lamb or mutton, mm-hmm. And it's cooked in this crock mm-hmm. for hours. Mm. Traditionally, the women would take it to the bakery. It's called Bacalfa, that means bake oven. So they mm-hmm. would take it to the bakery, and as the oven cooled from the morning bread, they would be loaded up with these crocks of meat, and it's made with the Riesling wine that mm-hmm. they grow there. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know. Beef bourguignon is, I mean, it's mm-hmm. exactly the same thing. It's just meat cooked in wine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Coq au vin, mm-hmm. chicken cooked in mm-hmm. wine, that you have all those. And all those just sing fall mm-hmm. with mushrooms mm-hmm. and onions
French.
And
mm-hmm.
And warmth. Mm-hmm. And we, comfort. There's not a one of them I don't love, for sure.
I don't think you've ever tried anything that you don't. That you didn't embrace or find something good about. Yeah. I don't think I did either, but...
Salmon mousse.
Oh,
yeah. Which
that was
is not fall. That's right. not fall. That's,
we don't have to talk about that right now because it was not a pleasant experience. It was not. But...
Well, we've all had Lulu's along the way.
So it was a delight to walk in the kitchen after a hard day at school mm-hmm. with the kids. Not really.
Like
it was a great
thing,
day. But for it to smell, the smell is part of it, as well as the memories that are evoked when you smell that and you associate the mm-hmm. smell with a place and a time. And
I mean, French cooking is really not that complicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it was, again, the things that we're talking about were developed by wives who were at
working
the house,
hard,
caring,
everyday
and,
people.
You know, and so, I mean, it's, and so there's, you know, just certain, you know, herbs that you just put together and mm-hmm. it makes it taste French. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that you do. Mm-hmm. I know one thing that's very, very difficult to get here that we loved there and it was everywhere is duck.
Mm-hmm.
The duck confit, the confit de canard that you could get. I mean, you know, you buy it in a can at the grocery store.
Wow.
Already preserved.
Already there. And, or the duck, the breast, or the whole duck, or the foie gras, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things, you know, that again, for me, even though we would grill duck in the summertime, and that felt very summery, then when you get into the cassoulet season and the confit de canard season, and you have that, you know, with those garlicky potatoes, and, you know, that's just a...
Can't find the word, Jeff.
When's the next flight?
That's right, exactly. Well, it's like I was in South Louisiana a couple of weeks ago. I mean, and it was almost, I had to tell Jennifer, say, So the vegetarian thing that we've been talking about, yeah, that's off the table this weekend. Just saying, I'm at the Boudin country, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Speaking of what's funny about Cassoulet is there was a lot of places with white beans on the menu.
Really?
I like that in South Louisiana. And, just, and it was like, oh, but that special is not the day I'm here.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's, I mean, it's a, that traditionally, that's an hours upon hours. You know, a really, I mean, and complicated, but not complicated.
Right.
I mean, you know, the just the different things that go into it and the order that you do it. And, you know, but then, you know, when you do it, that's what's amazing. I mean, the magic of doing it in those ways and them saying, wow.
Yeah, that's really you is.
You kind of get it.
We have such a habit of hurrying and rushing. And none of all of the, it's like, again, like barbecue, low and slow.
Right.
And you can't rush that.
Or like red beans and rice.
That's right.
You can shortcut it
while you're doing the wash.
And anytime we do something like a soup or a stew or whatever, it always seems better the next day.
It even melds even more.
Yeah.
The flavors kind of come together.
And we've done it. We've like, I'm making soup tonight. We're having something else for dinner. I'm making the soup for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true.
It never makes it.
Exactly.
We've done that too. Oh, wow. But yes, that makes me hungry. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Here's kind of a random question, but what... And this could be any time of year, not necessarily just fall. But what would sort of a day in the life look like as far as what y'all would eat?
Okay, that's a great question. That's a good question.
Yeah, so a lot of, I mean, for me, I mean, you know, yogurt for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Again, that's just something that was all over the place. Mm-hmm.
A lot of yogurt.
Good. Mm-hmm. Kids ate cereal. You know, a lot,
and yogurt and fruit,
but we didn't do a lot of hot breakfast.
No, ours was very like continental breakfast, like you might get in when you're visiting in a hotel or something. But we would have, now of course, bread always baguette and Jeff
butter
and real butter and jam.
Yeah.
Their jams are amazingly wonderful, and again, that's what my mama made. That's what your mom made. The strawberry jam is strawberries, sugar, and maybe pectin, but you know, not necessarily.
But in France, one thing that's interesting, and again, traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. This is changing,
right?
And it depends on whether you're in the city or a smaller town. But lunch is really the more significant meal.
Yeah, I wondered about that. It is.
And you have longer to eat. You know, businesses, it's not just schools, but businesses
take
longer at lunch. And so that's kind of the big meal. And then dinner is a little
bit lighter.
Or supper is a lighter meal. And that's something I don't know that we ever adjusted to that.
We retained our American traditions of eating together as a family.
Right. Yeah. Maybe the dinner, I adopted meal. The big lunch and kept the big supper.
There you go.
You did. But a lot of the families that live close to us, it was very interesting to me because they would pick the children up from school at 4:30. We went till 4:30 and walk them back. They'd have a snack every day. You have to have a snack. That's just part of their growing up. It's time.
Yeah.
Kind of like the British when they have tea time. It is time. And it's a similar thing. Mm-hmm. And then they might have, the children will have an early dinner, about 7, have their baths and be tucked in bed by the time maybe dad comes home from work.
Okay.
And so dad and mom would have their time after the children have already gone to bed. And so we learned from our neighbors that most all of them did that. That was not the dinner evening meal, was not the primary meal, you know, of the day, especially like on Saturday and Sunday when the children are home and they're all home together. Lunch is going to be the noonday meal is more significant, I think, to them. So we would have that light breakfast, and that was really good. Children could enjoy their hot chocolate. Sometimes in France, children will drink coffee, mostly milk with sugar, but they drink out of bowls.
That's
the neatest thing, is that we learned that there were these bowls that were for hot coffee in the morning. So not necessarily, but we use them for cereal. But then we discovered, you know, a little ways down the road, boiled eggs were always a big thing too for breakfast, because they had
like
these cute little
soft
boiled eggs. They had these cute little egg cups that were so...
Yeah.
Never got to hang on that though.
Not really, no. No, we weren't too much for that. But lunch, a typical day of lunch for kids at the school, this is kind of interesting. They would have, they would go to the cafeteria, mm-hmm. and there would be tables set up, like four or five at a table, a round table with tablecloths, and glassware. And
really?
Yes. This was weird.
And so then they sat down to a set table.
They did. And then they served each other. And the canteen ladies would come and they would bring the food to them. But the children would serve each other water.
Be like family style.
They would serve each other water. There'd be a basket of bread on the table. And every child was expected to try everything. Wow. And then they would have a dessert every time. Now, to ask Rachel and Jeffrey, the food was not great. They were not crazy about it. But I thought it was so interesting that they would have a formal sit-down lunch for kids. And they learned how to do it.
No square pizza.
No square pizza.
No french fries.
None. Corn nuggets.
No. Especially, they were, but for lunch for us, if we had meetings with someone, that was a nice time to try maybe a new restaurant or whatever. But our main cooking meal would be in the evening. Yeah, we just enjoyed doing that. And we would have whatever struck our fancy that day. Yeah. Whatever was at the grocery. Yeah. Food was expensive. I will say that. I mean, a trip to the grocery store would be very expensive for us as a family of five and trying to be frugal with what we had. But I think that was the creeping up of the recession. Didn't realize that.
Talking, too, though, about, like, you know, vegetarian, and we've never done that, but... you know, kind of the norm was smaller amounts of meat, like they tell us to do here,
right?
But we don't in the South. And then, but then there were so many different kinds of vegetables and different ways. It was so much easier to eat vegetables than had been my experience. We do better with that now, but than had been my experience. And so, so that was a unique. Piece of it for us, and you know, again, I always ate lots of meat, you know, but you would eat less, and some of the quality, like beef in France, is not that great, and so we ate a lot more chicken and pork that was really good quality, but it was expensive, and so you would buy less,
And save it for maybe more special occasions,
right. Oh, Jeff, I'm trying to remember what were some of the vegetables that were. I mean, like lettuce. Lettuce changed from season to season. I mean, you could usually always get green leaf, but different kinds of lettuce, like endives.
I didn't know there was anything but iceberg. But endives and
radicchio, is that the red?
Yeah,
that's a fall. I think too. And kind cabbage would come in about
tons
this time.
Of, you know, asparagus in the spring and all those things in the spring. And
the peas.
Like I said, and peas.
Green peas out of the pod. One of my favorite things.
You know, it was easy to get and easy to get fresh. And that I think that honestly of all the, you know, I mean, a lot of things I learned to do, that may be the biggest change to my kind of overall diet that happened there was just getting used to eating more
fresh,
more healthy. You know, I mean, we didn't seek out like organic, but things tended to be more that than not. And so that was a, you know, seafood, I had never, except for fried catfish, and fried shrimp. That's all I knew. And, you know, you would go to the market and there would be just dozens of different kinds of fish. And,
that's right.
And again, and they would, you would say, how do I cook this? And they would tell you. You know, those kind of things that sort of broaden our horizons, you know, fall, spring, winter, summer, because it changed and, we didn't try everything.
No, there was something.
There was always a vendor who sold horse meat, which we never tried.
No, we did not try that. And I try to explain to people that there's a reason why French people, if there are still some people who eat horse meat, that there's a reason for that. And that is, it's historical.
There were days that was all they had.
And
then, you know, in a lot of the...
right after World War II and the resistance and occupation.
What's the nice word that people use for, like, is it awful? Awful?
Yeah, awful.
Kidneys and livers and all that kind of stuff.
They
eat a lot of that, and we never got into that.
We didn't really try that much, but
except for the foie gras.
Foie gras, we did.
Speaking of fall and winter, that was heavenly.
Yeah, we really.
But
did.
Yeah, so I mean, That's probably the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm. What for is? Sure.
Just the different seasons and the vegetables mm-hmm. and the freshness and all that.
Yeah. And the effect that it had on our family dynamic of, you are the cook now. And it's all right.
That's a whole other story.
But it's okay. I've embraced that now, and I'm very happy.
I think we're somewhere in our heart, in our nature, cold weather people. Because
sometimes during
the summer, we're like, oh, what are we going to cook? And the winter's like, all right, we're ready to cook this. And we got a long list of things we'll never cook at all. But
it's fun. It's fun to have a list and a plan, you know, to eventually try them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for joining us again and talking about fall and more about France and your experiences there. So for this week, Sweet Teen Tacos, I'm Dave.
And I'm Jim.